Genesis 19. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. And he said, "Now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." They said, however, "No, but we shall spend the night in the square." Yet he urged them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And they prepared a feast for him and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us, that we may have relations with them." But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, "Please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, inasmuch as they have come under the shelter of my roof." But they said, "Stand aside." Furthermore, they said, "This one came in as an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them." So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. But the men reached out with their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. They struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. When the two men said to Lot, "Whom else do you have here? A son-in-law and your sons and your daughters and whomever you have in the city, bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place, because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it." Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were to marry his daughters, and said, "Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city." But he appeared to his sons-in-law to be jesting. When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city." But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of those two daughters, for the compassion of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him up and put him outside the city. When they had brought them outside, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, and do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords, now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. Is it not small? That my life may be saved." He said to them, "Behold, I grant you this request also, not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." Therefore the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But his wife from behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Now Abraham rose early in the morning and went to the place where he had stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Thus it came about, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that he remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Lot went up from Zoar and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him. For he was afraid to stay in Zoar, and he stayed in the cave, he and his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us to have after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with them, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she rose. On the following day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. As for the younger, she also bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day.
So what do you think?
I think that is a very disturbing chapter.
Yes.
I think not only are the Sodomites disturbing, so is Lot and his daughters disturbing.
We'll talk about them. It's very, very important. Yes.
I think that Jordan was a problem then and it still is.
Okay.
You reap what you sow. Moab and Ammon are both Jordan.
Any other thoughts? Yes.
The angels were really very favorable to Lot, and all the questions and whatever he granted on all kinds of answers that he really shouldn't have deserved anything, and he got answered.
Any other comments? Daniel.
Personal pain, it's like a dig at Moab and Ammon. Yeah, you've had a family, but it's through incest, so you don't really count.
Yes.
There's a resemblance of lifestyle not far away from here.
like maybe a block away? No. Do you have a question? No, you had a question.
Watch out for that wine.
Yes.
Another point about Zoar, he wanted to go to Zoar, the small town there, but then in the end he decided afterwards to go to the mountains instead. The Lord always has a better answer for us.
All right.
Anyway, yeah.
All right. However, comma, I know your mind is on Lot, and we will cover. Oh, you had another statement?
Just reading this over again, I didn't realize until reading this again is that we always talk about the five cities and they name them and blah, blah, blah. But that entire valley was destroyed too. So you think about not only the big towns, but those little farms or those little communities were out in the suburbs or all of that was wiped out.
Yes.
I was just wondering if you were going to address this issue of cities. Of cities. What is it about cities? God did not want Lot in a city.
Uh-huh.
Right. He tells him to go to the mountains. I was wondering if you were going to address why.
Later. I don't know if I can fulfill all your questions today. I will definitely fulfill them tomorrow. I mean, next Shabbat. Because there's an awful lot of things that's in there. A lot of events took place here in this chapter. And what we're going to do, we're going to wade through them very carefully. And we're going to begin with the very first verse. Right? And you know what I do in the first verse, right?
We'll get much further than one verse today.
Well, first of all, let me ask you a question. If you already know, raise your hand. Don't answer it. Do you know what the name Lot means? Raise your hand. One person? All right, now I'm going to get this point across. Lot means a covering, like a veil being covered over him. And this is how he got his name. Now remember, I told you before, a name comes after the fact. Here we see an evidence where a veil or protection was covered over him, and he was protected from, in a sense, the wrath of God. But also protected from, we will not get there today, I cannot get there today, but we will talk about that next Shabbat, God willing. And we'll find out a little bit more about the character of this man named Lot. All right, it's very important. But now, and the other one it talks about, and it says, he sat at the gate of Sodom, or Sodom. What is the gate?
An opening.
It's a specific opening. Remember last week I talked about what a door was? That is that specific. I'm sorry, what?
It's an entrance.
But it's one that rises its gate up. Okay, like a normal gate. The old English had this, you know, they all this big gate rises up. It doesn't open up outwardly. It rises upward. And basically the symbol of this one is teeth. Your teeth. When you open up your mouth is how it's like a gate. And you open it up and something comes in. And we get into Proverbs. We won't go there today. You get into Proverbs. It says, open your gates. So and let something come in. What are you supposed to let come in?
King of glory.
Whom is?
The
Messiah himself. So that means his words to come in and you consume his words and then out comes flowing living waters. Okay, so the play on words to understand about gate. We're not in there today, but I do want you to understand there's a difference between the gate that we think of and the gate which we're biblically referring to. And Proverbs says, Psalms, open up your gates. Yes?
The gate stands for, it implies protection to protect, you know, to keep
Correct.
Looking out. Right?
Correct. Now, in this particular, yes.
Does this gate that Lot is in front of in Sodom, do they also do judgment there, judging?
The judges, no. The gate means the gate of a city, by the way, not a gate of your house. The door is a gate to your house, but the gate of the city. So you open it up and you let someone come in. Now, in this particular case, who came in?
Two angels.
Where'd they come from?
God.
Where'd they come from?
Abraham.
All right, let's get back. They were first there with Abraham, right? And we have to know they went on a journey. They actually did not fly there at a, you know, they actually walked all the way from Hebron, all the way down. And by the time they got down there, it was toward the evening. Right? Now, how far away is Hebron from approximately the city of any one of these cities? Possibly 35 to 40 miles away. That's not that far. Well, it is that far for us to walk that far. But nonetheless, unlike us, men and women back in those days, their main mode of transportation was what?
Walking.
So they had well-built bodies, their body was strong and capable to do that distance. We walk about a mile, we're exhausted in the bush. We can't take it anymore.
Right.
Call a cab.
Right.
So that's what we do. But we have to. Now, I got two numbers up here. What do you mean?
Years from the flood.
Years from the flood. All right, it's very important. I should understand it a little bit more because you talked to me last Sabbath. I have a hard time understanding BC and AC and all that kind of stuff. But I have a beginning date. I have a beginning date, and I know what date it was. Abraham was told 365 years after the flood to leave and go into the land of Canaan. 10 years later, what happened?
Sodom.
Oh, my.
The covenant.
Haggai. And the birth of Ishmael. Now, in between there was also, he had to go to war. All right. Now, we have traveled from the, just listen to what I'm saying now, because it's very important. We have traveled from the 12th chapter of Genesis all the way now to the 19th chapter in association with something to do with a man named Abram and the people who are connected to him. Right? And Lot is connected to him. The covering one is connected with him. So he actually was protected, and why it says in Scripture, but the reason why the Lord, or Yahweh, Elohim, saved Lot is because of whom?
Abraham.
Okay? Remember, Lot went with Abraham. Now, Lot wasn't a teenager when he left. Abraham, how old was Abraham when he left? 77, 75 years old. And so he had brought his nephew along with him. Now, his nephew, probably in his 50s, could be a little bit older than that. So he wasn't a young man. He was 50. By the time 377 comes on, he's probably about the age of 60, plus or minus, about that age. So, and he had took his wife with him. He had his children with him. They all traveled with Abraham from the land of Ur and came into the land of Canaan. All right? So we got to, I'm going to say this with a picture. Now, as we carry on here, what happened in the first chapter of Genesis?
God created the heaven and
the earth. How long did it take him?
6 days.
Okay. Now, we have a change in the second chapter, in the third chapter, in the fourth chapter. What took place there? How long was the event?
Over 2,000 years happening in those chapters.
Well, wait. No, we have Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel, fourth chapter? So we're not talking 88-year-old, 105,000-year-old people. We're talking about in that generation. Now, and you take the ages down, all of a sudden, time moves very rapidly, doesn't it?
Yes.
And all the way to the, quickly, the 11th chapter. What happens in the 11th chapter?
Noah.
All right? And a couple of chapters about Noah. So we have this huge gap of history that seems to be null and void. But what do we have? What is the first chapter telling us? Listen carefully to yourself. What does the first chapter reveal to you?
The beginnings of the whole of the history are from the end.
The actions of the Creator of heaven and earth. All right. Garden of Eden. What took place there? Actions of the Creator of heaven and earth taking charge or doing something. Then the destruction of the entire world. Actions of the Creator of God. Actions and things of men. It's not mentioned, unimportant, insignificant. Then we reach the 12th chapter. Now, we have a long span of time here. We've got 10 years, approximately. Unlike it being wrapped up quick, all of a sudden we have an extended life of one man. We're going on for, this is only 10 years. Right? And we know it's a lot longer, don't we? What is it telling you? The actions of? It's the actions of Elohim. What he is doing, how he is acting, what he does, what he brings about. This is where the whole talk, the whole story of the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelations, is not the functions or actions or deeds of human beings, but the functions and actions of the Creator of heaven and earth. What he is doing. And that is the true history that God wants us to see, not our history, but his. So we're looking here that when we look at the story of this particular one about Lot, we say, what's going on here? What an idiotic, in our attitude, 21st century, what an idiotic idiot. That's what. Because you know why? We have this incredible, wonderful thing called hindsight, which is a whole lot more wiser than foresight. Okay? Now be careful, people. God did do something. He saved Lot's life. That wasn't a happenstance. Saving Lot's life, is to let us know something. We have this dynamic, powerful human being named Abram. Very dynamic and blanket the history of mankind from this point on all the way to the book of Revelations. Powerful man. And what's his name mean? The exalted father of many, right? So we focus in on him. If you are the, if you have the faith of Abraham is, you have the faith of the exalted father. Who made him exalted? The 12th chapter of Genesis tells you who made Abram exalted. It was the Creator. So I will do this. I will, through you, you make a great nation. And through you, I will have the seed that will bless all mankind. It's not the actions of Abraham, is it? It's the actions of the Creator of heaven and earth. So when we look at the 19th chapter, I want you to kind of have your focus in, not on what Lot did or didn't do, whether your judgment is against him or for him. I want you to have your eyes focused in on one thing. What is it that God did? And did he have a reason? Do we understand it? Okay? This particular area of the Bible is so dense with it, I'm not going to be able to complete it this Sabbath at all. It is awesome in its information. It is well within the Bible. It carries all the way to the book of Revelations. Yes, Ellie.
Could that also apply for our sake, that when things are really bad, that God may save our children or families if they are obedient when the chips are down?
It doesn't make any difference. He obeyed.
He took his hand.
Wait, he took, but he was forced out. They had to force him out.
But
it was a covering. You understand what I'm saying? Be careful how you look at Lot. Be very careful. Do not judge according to your human eyes. Judge according to the word of the living God, which he says, I am going to protect and cover Lot. Yes?
But it also says it wasn't so much through Lot's righteousness, but Abraham.
We have that. But wait. Don't judge him yet, because we have farther on down where we have the Apostle Peter says, the righteous of Lot. Lot was righteous. Okay, we have to keep that part too.
He wasn't, but
I'm just saying, yes.
It's always God's prerogative. He will save who he wants to save. It's because it's for his own name's sake.
Yeah, it says. It's all centered around him. All centered around the Messiah. Not around a human being. All centered around the creator of heaven and earth. Not a human being. Lot has been blessed by the covering. Abraham been blessed by God, giving him the exaltation, giving him faith, giving him understanding, having him walk and live according to his word. That's a blessing. No man who faces earth can ever walk the way God wants him to walk unless the creator of heaven and earth says, I want you to walk this way. Before I ran into a couple of things that Abraham did was an Ur, right? And what did God do? He protected Abraham. He protected Abraham. He protected Sarah. Why? For his great name's sake, like you said.
Glorified.
I am going to be glorified. I will be glorified. And through Abram, we can see him glorifying God, not only by his actions, but his thoughts and his deeds as he gets older and gets older. There's a decision he had to make later on, we'll get to that today, which he did not want to make, he did not like to make, but he made it anyway, even though it was contrary to the will of Abraham. He did it anyway. You as a human being today, if God tells you the same thing, you probably have a hard time. Hey, do you think Abraham was a piece of cake for him? No, it was hard for him. Abraham, when he walked this life, walks the life as you walk this life. It is narrow. It is very narrow. It is difficult. There's hardships. There's difficulty. Why? Because there are always Sodom and Gomorrah all around you. No matter where you're at. We haven't explained what Sodom and Gomorrah is completely. But what's the name Sodom mean?
Burning.
The burning one. What does the name Gomorrah mean? The chastened one. All right. Now, there's another city named Zoar. What's Zoar mean? The insignificant one. He's where he fled to, right? To the insignificant city. And the angel says, okay, we will not destroy that insignificant city because of Lot's sake. So that city was spared because Lot entered into it. Lot was given a covering. I want you to keep this part in mind. When you think about Lot, be careful how you observe him, because he was covered, given a veil, protected, what we might call an umbrella over him. Yes?
Richard, I have a question. In terms of our understanding today, incest will be considered anything but righteous.
Correct. And we'll get into that.
Are you going to explain?
If I can reach that point today, yeah, you'll get it. You'll get it. Okay. I'm sorry, but I have to. I'm expounding on the first verse because I tell you, it's very important that we look at it from a different point of view. This is the actions of the Creator. We see the actions of men. We saw the actions of Sarah and Abraham, which is not what God wanted. But an action took place 10 years later. Up came a man named Ishmael. That was not required by God. That was the act of these two people. And because they act of these two people, God said to Ishmael, he will not be a friend of the family. He will always be at war with his brothers, meaning always be at war with Isaac and always be at war for all the time until the Messiah says no more. I will deal with them. And we know from prophecy, it will not be dealt with before. We can think as a powerful United States being massive and huge, we may be able to wipe out entire Arab nations. No, you can't. It is God who is going to put a stop to it, not us.
Amen.
All right? And if we take the glory, guess what? You're in trouble. I can't go through this. I got 35 pages of notes, by the way. You know I'm not going to get through today. And that was page one. I want to go to Isaiah 25, verse 7. 25, verse 7. Here's where this word Lot shows up, but it's in a reverse direction. He's going to take away the covering, all right, to a certain group of people. We won't talk about it. Verse 7, and he will destroy this mountain, the surface of the covering cast, that is covering over them, over all the people, and the veil covering, same thing, spreading over, that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and Adonai Elohim, or Adonai Yahuwah, will wipe away tears from all faces. Oh, where'd you hear that from? He's going to remove a covering. All right? He's going to have that Lot that is over us. He's going to remove it. What is he going to give us? What is that covering? The shadow of death. All right? And he will wipe away all those tears. Now, last week, I talked about what, when we were there, Yahuwah said, I have heard the cries of Sodom and Gomorrah. I explained to you what that word meant, right? It meant literally crying, weeping, wallowing. And here we're going to see a different word that is used. I hope we will reach there today. All right? I'm letting you have some pictures to see what's going on. Oh, I got this here about the gates. You lift up your gates. Yeah, I think it's very interesting. I hope you can get that and understand what that's about. All right. Here we have in verse 3 that Lot pressed them to stay, and they decided to stay to his house. He made a feast. That means a banquet, a drinking banquet, or it could be anything, a festival day. It wasn't the feast day, by the way. And people have a little bit confusion when they read these things that the feast, this is during the days of unleavened bread. No, it wasn't. Did he give unleavened bread? Yes. What does unleavened bread mean? No, well, the definition of unleavened bread means that which is the bitterness has been taken away. Funny thing. Because what makes bread taste the way it tastes is sour dough. And it has an unusual, odd taste. When you don't put sour dough in it, guess what? The bitterness is gone. And you can put sweet bread into it, you can put anything you want on it. So don't put this together, because the days of unleavened bread did not show up in time seen until Moses. We will not get there today. They first said no. Why do you think they said no? Why did they first say no? What did they go there for?
To look around.
Check it out.
They were what?
To look around.
How do you know that?
Because that's what they told Abram they were going to do.
That's right. See, don't you remember? That's what Abram. Come down and see for myself what is the crying all about. And so he went and set these two angels. By the way, remember I told you what angel means? He's got a lot of power, a lot of might, a lot of strength, and he carries out the word of the Lord. That's what angels do. Yes?
So
Some people would say, doesn't God know all things? Why should he have to send some angel down there to find out what's going on?
He doesn't send angels down here to find it. This is telling us something about actions of God. So we're learning the actions of God here. And he acts and he uses his angels for to carry out his actions. The throne that we have seen in the book of Revelations there, the 24 elders, what are they there for? Carry out orders, carry out functions, do the function. They carry out his power. They carry out his work. You had a question?
Is that symbolic for when Christ came down and manifested to deliver God's word and see for him and to show us the way himself?
It's the actions of his Father, the actions of the Creator of heaven and earth, showing who he, how God thinks, acts, and walks. And sometimes God is really mad. And we, sometimes in the Christian world, we call ourselves, don't like it when he's mad. We'll just pass that stuff up. We'll go here. We're nice and pleasant and kind and sweet. Here, we're going to see what is kind and pleasant and sweet to Lot. But he wasn't kind and sweet to the rest of the people. Right? Let's go on. Now, these people came to the door. Who came to the door?
Everyone.
Now it says, both men, both old and young, from the four quarters of the city. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this. I don't name the movie at all. But some movie many, many, many years ago, they had a story about Sodom and Gomorrah. And they had these weird-looking people with eyeballs back. Yeah. Listen, that's a lie. Making a joke. Right. But it's not the truth. Yeah. All right. So we're looking here at the truth. These grown men were going to do something, and they weren't dressed up weird. There was a bunch of women out there, all their get-up all played like the stupid movie did, and deliberately did to make a mockery of what the Word of God is telling us. Rejected. Don't accept it. It's a lie. Stick with the truth. The Word of God revealing to us how he acts and how he responds. And the four corners means there wasn't a righteous, there weren't 10 righteous men in that city. Remember the number was 10? There wasn't 10. There was only one. We can't get to a lot today. Hopefully I'll explain to you about him more in detail. Anyway, so, and these men, of course, what did they do? He went out, and they were going to treat him, and they're going to do to him because of why? Now, before we do this, he had this weird thing, and we'll talk about this in a minute. Behold, now I have $2, which I have, that's verse 8, have not known men, let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and you can do what you want to them. It is good for you, it was good in your eyes. Only do not these two men, for therefore they come under the shadow, or under the roof, or the covering, you put it that way, but it will come under the shadow of my roof. Now, what seems very strange to us in the 21st century? What seems strange?
Sacrificing your daughters.
Sacrifice the daughters seems strange, doesn't it? Yes.
Is that like Satan trying to infiltrate God and pollute his by trying to have relations with the two angels, polluting God's word?
A good question. I had not thought about that. Yes.
It seems hard to us, but when you are talking about messengers of the Lord, who are we as human beings to count ourselves greater
than
they are?
Now, let's backtrack for just a minute. What did Lot do? He invited them into his house. What did he give them? A feast, a banquet, gave them dinner. You think that they didn't talk? You think they didn't say hi? You think they said, why are you here for?
Yeah.
What'd you come for?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, these angels were not going to be stupid. They were there to do something. To save Lot's life. They didn't need to go there unless they were told by the Lord to go there and to bring Lot out. Protect Lot. Otherwise, you don't need to go there. So they didn't go there just to destroy the city. They came there to save one man. Yes.
And Lot knew that they were angels. It said when he prostrated himself before them. He knew that they were special.
They were different than ordinary people. I'm not quite sure I could explain that completely, but prostrate means he bowed his head. Okay, we talked about that last Sabbath?
No.
The bowing is a bowing. And these are total strangers. They were foreigners. They were aliens, we would call them. And he bowed before them. He lowered his head before them. It's a custom of the time, a custom of the day, in which we think it's evil and wicked and corrupt. But it's not worshiping. It's not worshiping. It's honoring somebody. Yes.
Mine says he prostrated himself to the ground.
Yeah, but it's not correct.
Oh, okay.
It's not correct. The word, if you look in the Hebrew, that word many, many times means just bow your head or bend over or get on one knee or lay on your belly. That means lowering yourself downward, becoming less important. And guess what the Apostle Paul said? Count everybody what? Better than you? What are you supposed to do? You should humble yourself, bow yourself down spiritually, knowing that another person is better than you. So how can that person be better than me? Now, we're talking about the body of Christ, right? So we have to look at this thing and know and understand a little bit what it means to this. Yes?
That's just showing them respect.
Showing them respect and showing them honor, yes.
So do you believe then that when Lot was confronted with the mob, that he knew the power of the people in his house?
I feel he did.
So then,
go ahead.
His offer of the daughters was more of a test of the people outside to test their intention.
Possibility. We'll get to there. I grant you. So not thought. I had not thought about that, but that's a good approach to go. But what's that? Sometimes we look, because we have this 21st century, we look at a lot as a totally idiot, foolish, unwise, idiot, fool. He did make choice. He makes wrong choices every single time, and he's not worth saving. But that's not what the turtle did. Yes.
Even in terms of the custom of the day, even if they weren't angels, in terms of the custom of the day would be to honor the people who were in your home rather than to disrespect them.
These were coming into the gate. They're coming to the city.
Yeah.
We would never do that in the 21st century. We just say, well, bye. Keep on going. Who are you? We might stop and acknowledge maybe the President of the United States in our 21st century. Well, many of us, you saw my wife, like, keep on walking. Who cares about you? Because, see, we think about ourselves. We're so interested in ourselves and our righteousness, our way of thinking, our way of walking and talking, that everybody else's, including perhaps someone who should have received honor, don't get it. All right? Now, let's go on here. Yes?
I have my notes on 18, too. Abraham was known as the father of hospitality.
Correct.
Also, hospitality was a huge...
Lot's father was a man of hospitality as well. The whole family was that way because they weren't from Canaan. They weren't from that area. They came from a land that was different. Right? Remember Abraham's father had to move and get out of the land between the two rivers? And because his son died, he was going on a journey. The journey was to head toward Canaan, right? But his son died, and it devastated him an awful lot. Yes?
I think the reason why Scripture calls Lot, one of the reasons why Scripture calls Lot a righteous man, is because he put the honor of the messengers above the honor of his own daughter. We talk about a woman has lost her honor when she loses her virginity.
It's interesting. Wait, look, yeah.
In a way, I can see if he realized who they were, he put the honor of the Lord.
Honor of the Lord is higher than anything else.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
And why he was righteous.
Right. But we'll get to his righteousness if I can't. Not this week. I cannot get there. We'll get to his righteousness much, much later. I just want to emphasize very strongly, we need to see the hands and the action of the Creator of heaven and earth, and not the action of what we consider the 21st century a stupid idiot. All right? Don't look at it in that way. His name is Lot because he had a covering, and the covering was given to him by the eternal Creator of heaven and earth. All right? We got that straightened out? I'm really strong on this. Sorry about that. All right. Now, as you can tell, Lot was not one of them. How long did Lot stay in the city? How many years do you think Lot was in the city?
10 years, at least.
At the most, 10 years. Perhaps less, because remember they had a score. Then the war broke, and he had to break. And then the war broke out, and Abraham had to go save and deliver his son, his nephew, back out again. So it was in that he wasn't there. Probably maybe 5 years. Who knows how long? We don't know how long. But sometimes we think in our mind, oh, he'd been there for, you know, thousands of years, because we had this evolutionary concept in our brain. I'm sorry, we've been taught evolutionary concept, and we look at time between 10 years as evolutionary period of time. No, it was just 10 years. All right, very short period of time. And now we see what's going on here. All right, so they asked him if he had any sons or any daughters. So, you know, he's old enough to have kids and old enough to have son-in-laws. And perhaps he had some daughter, more daughters, just the two. We won't go into that today. And, of course, these two guys went out there and they... Oh, I got to talk about this one. 11th verse. That's a funny one to me. I have a sense of humor, believe it or not, I do. That's one of these ones I really like. I'm reading here. It says, "And they, the angels, smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door." Now, Hebrew... Laha. Say laha.
Laha.
Someone like language. Ha ha ha. No, it's laha. It means you are in a very frustrating, angry, upset, and you are become weary, tired, exhausted, trying to find the door. Lost. And so they were out there trying to find the door. No, that's funny. Laha. They tried to find it, and they couldn't find it. They were there, right? They were, and the lot was pulled in, and the door was closed. They blind up. They couldn't find the door. That's funny. Now, does it mean they were blind and they couldn't see anything else? They weren't blind, so blind they can't tell light from darkness. They're blind that they couldn't see the door. Now, that's fascinating, isn't it?
And they would even be bothering to try to find the door after something like that happened.
And they look, it's like, go to the house, like I said, this house, and all doors, there's no doors to get in this house. But you know the guy's in there. How do you get in there? How do you get in? And they're frustrated. And they try to get it. They go here, they go there, they can't get in. Yes?
Like those that reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's as a stumbling block, and they can't find the doorway.
They can't find the doorway. And so God goes into it. I think it's funny. I think it's very funny. I got a little picture. Grown men and young men who want to do evil to Lot, as well as to the two men, they couldn't find the door. I got to walk around the house. Got to have a door. Going about it. How do you get in? How do you get in? I just picture that. Hilarious. I think that movie should have shown them looking in desperation. No doors. No doors. No doors. They can't see a door anywhere. Or windows. No opening. No nothing. They can't see. They can see themselves. They know what's going on. And they can see what's going on. If you're just totally blind, you would not be laha. Trying to find a door. You'd be something else, stumbling, falling, all over the place. So I find it very funny that the door, remember last week I talked to you about the door? Mm-hmm. Right? What he closes,
no man
can open. You know why? You can't find the door. You can't find the door. He's there, but he can't find the door. Then he has to show you the door, right? He has to reveal, lift up those eyes so you can see the door. And then you get to enter. But once he's closed that door, that's it. You can't see it. It's gone. And you know, in your work and you're wandering or you're done, sometimes you had those, oh, I'm going to go there. And what's that? Everything's closed. There's no opening for your work or job or place. You can't figure out, well, it was there when I left. Where's it now? It's not there. The door's gone. It didn't show up. You know, some people ask me, what do I know what God wants to do? I'll tell you this much. If you're going to go from this city, do what James said. Pray about God. If he wants you to go there, then go there. If the door's open, guess what? You get to go there. If you go there, there's no door. Oh, go back. The simplicity of the matter is, he didn't want you there, you know. So you go someplace else. Now, we're going to get into this other word. The other word, which I talk, 13th verse. I hope to begin. I should get most of this done We started late, didn't we? Okay, because man, that's eating up time like crazy here. For now, the angel is saying, "For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of Yahuwah. And Yahuwah has sent us to destroy it." Now, here's a different word, and it's not the same word that is in the book in the previous chapter. This Hebrew word is not weeping or crying like bawling. Okay? This Hebrew word is different. It means to cry out against, cry out in anger, cry out in hatred, cry out in frustration, cry out and to warn. Remember, it says, cry out to my people, tell them their sins. He's not telling them to bawl. He's telling them to yell, lift up your voice. And so what he is hearing now is this incredible evil that is so loud it's yelling at his face. And he says, I want it stopped. Remember what an angel does? He carries out the word of the Lord. He's not a little stupid, idiotic Cupid with a bow and arrow for people to fall in love. He carries out a sword. We went through that before, right? Now, he carried these men were to come and save. They had to physically remove Lot. That's their job. They, regardless of their, they don't even think whether it's right or wrong. It's not their attitude or judge or think about, well, what would we do about this situation? They told Lot what to do. And Lot lingered. And they said, grabbed him and his wife and two kids, and just took them out, all out past the gate. All right. Now, to go through a few things here so you understand the word cry. In Genesis 18, verse 21, I will go down to see whether they have done another according to all the outcry against that which had come before me. If I do not, I will know. That's the 18th chapter of Genesis. We'll go there. I'm just reading these things off. Genesis 27, verse 35. And when Esau, now this is cool, we have not there yet. It's very cool understanding here. Now, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry. He's not bawling. He is mad, yelling at his father. What does the scripture say? Honor thy father and thy mother. He was in the process of cursing his father. Ooh, that's not a good thing to do. Not a good thing to do. Kind of tells you the process. We won't go into Esau today. But you understand, he says, and then he finally says, oh, bless me. He says, I have nothing to give you. You know, Exodus 3, verse 7. And Yahuwah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, not bawling, not weeping, not sobbing. They're yelling out. They're raising their voice unto me, and I'm going to go down there and do something about it. So we have this different word of a cry. Okay, I'm not going to get into any more of that part because it's getting a little bit long here. I want to get to, we talked about Zora. That's the insignificant one. By the way, oh, we won't go there. That's no sub matter. The cities were destroyed and all the planes that she brought out, she didn't know it was balls occluded the plane. Remember, that's the Lot. It was, at the area where they were, it was very, very plush land, gorgeous land, fantastic land for all the herds to be able to feed, and it's all now completely destroyed. Okay, and of course his wife looked behind, gave pillar of salt. Now, verse 27. I want to go there. And Lot got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before, or actually with, on the wrong side of Yahuwah, or Elohim, or what we call Yahshua, Shaddai. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward the land of the plain, and behold, lo, smoke of the country went up. Now, Abram was about 35 to 40 miles away. Now, can you imagine how much smoke that would be? Now, I grant you that if you look at it close to the calendar, Beersheba, which is almost the same distance due west of this area, they may have seen the smoke as well. I don't think the smoke was just hidden. I think it was well seen. Now, I know smoke travels. And grace be in this bitter case, God wanted the smoke to travel northward along the Dead Sea. But you get that where Lot was at, where Abraham was at, it's about midway or three-quarters of the way up the Dead Sea. So all that smoke was very visible for a long space, time. I mean, in distance. What kind of smoke was it? It wasn't white. It was smoke from a furnace. And what happens, you put things in the furnace? It's black, dirty, and filthy. Ashes all over the place. All right? So this is an evidence, and we look at this thing, and this is the acts of whom? The acts of Elohim, the acts of Yahuwah, the acts of the Creator of heaven and earth. But what did he do before he destroyed these cities? He saved the life of Lot. All right? Now, you may think God made a mistake in saving this, quote, wretched human being who offered his daughters, and his wretched daughters who did what they did. What a horrible family. But that's not how the Elohim, the Creator of heaven, looked at it. We have to be careful. I said, you know, the opening thing in this chapter is we focus in on Lot, and we need to be able to focus in Lot. We need to focus in on Lot based upon the eyes of Elohim and not our own. Our hindsight is unclean if we judge him contrary to the Elohim. Yes?
I'm just thinking it has an overtone of Nineveh. When God says they,
right hand and
left hand, they don't know their right hand, and the mercy of the Lord.
Which you have. All right. So, here we go now. Where are we at now? Okay, let's just speed along here. What does Moab mean? The last two letters is Ab, or Abba, Father. Mem, from Father. That's all it means, is that Moabs are, their father is, of course, whom? Lot, the covering one. And therefore, they became known as the ones from the incest one. But it's the daughter who made the incest. It's the daughter who made the transgressions. And we want to look at that from point. But there is a very important reason why this is telling here and let us know. Whether we like it or not, the Messiah is linked to Moab. We will get there later, much, much later. It's not even in my book. Yes, it is book. He's going about. He passed up that particular book for a reason, because he's going to the prophets only. It's not in the writings. But there's a very important reason why and how it lived. And there was a certain period of time, there was a certain era of events that took place in order for that to transpire. We won't go there today. But remember, just all that means is that one is prolonged from her father's children. Yes.
Yeah, because when you read why the girls thought that this was a good idea, they say they presume that the whole world was destroyed.
Okay, we'll clarify by that. Yeah,
I
understand
the
technology
that.
Their thinking is different than our thinking. We have incredible, beautiful hindsight behind us. But remember, they're not very far from the flood. Would you think they were idiots not knowing the flood ever occurred? Oh man, Shem was still alive. Right? Shem was still alive. The world had shaped so radically, it didn't look like anything in the first 1,000 years or whatever, how many years it was. Radically changed the face, so radically changed it didn't even look the same. But anyway, just to get to that point, and the point is that what it says about in the cave, he went and fled to the caves. Now, obviously he fled eastward into the caves where we have the land of Moab and the land of Ammon Aleph fell to the hill. He fell eastward to the hills. And remember the Dead Sea? There's huge hills all around it. So he would have fled toward that general direction toward the east. And what else happened? If you were a Lot, just think what took place in your life right now. Your wife is dead. Your son-in-laws are dead. The rest of your children are dead. Are you in a world of happiness and glee and pleasant and says, oh, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody's dead? No. No more than Job was happy when he lost all that he lost. It was painful. It was sorrowful. It was difficult world. So I want you to have this look upon Lot and realize you might have him judged as an idiot, but you have not lost what he lost. Yes.
He lost a lot of the same things that Noah lost.
Yeah.
He thought, just like Noah saw the whole world destroyed, Lot probably thought the whole world was destroyed as well.
That's what it was, right? It was. It was gone. Family gone. His cattle gone. He had men working for him. Remember they had a fight about the cattle? And all that's gone. He lost everything. He has nothing to look back on or forward to. All right, so it's easy to judge him contrary. Yes.
But they, the daughters and him, both knew that the whole world hadn't been destroyed.
Wait. Go back.
That little town.
They lived in a cave. He fled that town. But wait. He lived in a cave. They stayed there for some time. We don't know the answer to everything. We could say they justified. They knew better. They had wisdom. They had knowledge. They had knowledge. Come on, be careful, because this particular act take place. Connects it to the Messiah. We don't like it connected to the Messiah. It's stupid to connect to the Messiah, but it's connected to the Messiah. Why? Because of Lot. Because of Lot. He put a covering over him. May God put a covering on us.
Amen.
And the second one is Ben-Ami, means just means son of my. Okay, read a lot off right now. Son of my people. Though she named it, basically, it's the son of Lot's people. It's the son of Lot. My people. Lot's people. That was it. And we see the travel that the Israelites went through. They were not to do something to the Moabites. Don't transgress their land. God has given it to them. Don't transgress the land. All right? So we have in our minds, perhaps, a different diversion in our mind. We read this 19th chapter, and we have a different picture, and things should be judged differently. But at the very same time, I really want to bring these things out, because you'll hear more about this next week, next coming Sabbath. And I hope you'll see a little bit different viewpoint. All right? And I'm sorry if I, troubled some of you, but I just want to show this is the acts of the Creator of heaven and earth, not the acts of anybody else. God can heal your falsehoods. When you make a mistake, even, quote, as great as, in the quote, Lot's daughters did, God still has a plan to correct the sins and the inequities and the impurities, the unholiness and the wickedness. And what was his plan?
Yeshua.
The death of his son. And so we know that history is going to have some devastating thing upon a lot of nations when God moves in and does his destruction. He does his Shaddai part, all right? And the world's going to be devastated by that incredible, awesome deluge, that incredible, awesome power, as he said he's going to do. And if we're ready for it, we will have the shadow of that Shaddai over us to protect us from the devastation that's going to come. I don't want to, I don't want to live, personally speaking, I hope my life doesn't end like Lot's did. I hope my life doesn't end like Job. Not end. Job actually blessed later on. But everything taken away. And so I look at the actions of God, and I see the actions of God from Genesis all the way to this point. We're looking at the power, the action, and the thinking, the thought, the mind, and of the Creator. And I just want to emphasize one more time, Lot was given a shield. He was given a covering. Not by our will, not by our wisdom, not by our understanding, not by our judgment, but by His. Can we accept it? We need to accept it. Because, see, we need the same thing in our world, in our lives, for our children. Our children make mistakes, yes, but you still want that covering. You still want that lot over you. Yes?
I just wanted to add, like, when God covers us with the blood of Jesus and give us the covering once we enter into Christ, once we fall into the flesh and fulfill our fleshful desires, and I believe it's showing us the things, the repercussions that have happened to us in the flesh, and not instead of contrary to walking in the Spirit.
You pay for what you do with the flesh.
That's right.
Right? But you create a reward when you walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Quite radically different. But the same thing, the mercy of God is great. All right? And we see it written right there in the very story of Lot.